Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to amagimetals.com and check them out. That's amagimetals.com. During the month of February, enjoy discounts and silver giveaways to commemorate Amagi's 4-year anniversary. Check out amagimetals.com anniversary.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. Today is Friday, February the 28th, and I'm here with my co-host, Ian Hewitt. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So today, we're going to be talking about the Tea Party and its 5-year anniversary. This article comes from the Washington Post. 5 years after Rick Santelli stood on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange to yell about the stimulus bill and propose a Tea Party in July, already doubters are raising questions about whether the movement will ever turn 10. Representative Steve King, the Iowa conservative, wasn't buying the doomsday scenario, pointing out that the movement has had its highest levels of energy when we had the biggest issues in front of us that we had a chance to change. There was an event on Thursday that had a sort of lackluster turnout, and he said, I think it's a good crowd, given that this isn't like Obamacare is going to be voted down tomorrow. One of the biggest applause lines of the day came when Representative Tim Huelskamp of Kansas, Ian's home state, asked,
Congressman.
Yeah, his congressman. Oh, your actual congressman. Isn't it high time that we retired Speaker John Boehner? He tried to say more, but he was drowned out by applause. The crowd stood out and cheered for 25 seconds before he said, isn't it high time we retired the John Boehner's biggest excuse that we only control one half of one third of the government? We need the government to get out of the business of building space rockets, said Gary Anderson. This is a guy from this group called Tea Party in Space, and he was wearing a t-shirt that said Tea Party in Space.
Yeah, of course they interviewed a few kooks.
No, Gary, you don't know Gary Anderson. He's actually a pretty awesome guy.
Gary Anderson, you
don't know him? Yeah, oh, Gary Anderson is this guy. He runs this group called Tea Party in Space.
And I'm not familiar with him, but this article certainly lumped him in with some other
kind of sketchy
characters.
Well, but they don't know this guy. Actually, Gary Anderson, if he's listening, he runs a group that we've collaborated with on a couple of articles before. I wrote an article, Can the Tea Party Go to Space One Day? And it was all about Elon Musk. Because what Gary Anderson's trying to do, and I don't want to segue too much, but he's trying to get the government to stop spending money on building space rockets and let the private market do it. So his whole group is the Tea Party in Space to advocate for private space travel.
That's a good cause. Well, yeah. Gary, I'm sorry I called you a kook. That's what I get for trusting the media.
Yeah, that's what you get for reading the Washington Post. But anyways, let me go on. So not everybody who is involved with the Tea Party is happy about how things are going. So if you ask Dylan Stevenson, like the Washington Post did, Dylan Stevenson was a volunteer on the Ron Paul presidential campaign, the real Tea Party, as he calls it. Me too, Dylan. And he fled to the bar, even though it was only a quarter until noon.
Gotta read that quote.
He said, I get so frustrated talking to these neocons that I need a shot of Jameson. He noted that the Tea Party has become much more about social issues than he's comfortable with. If the Tea Party wants to keep Democrats in power, they should just keep doing what they're doing. Boom.
All right, now, Stevenson, I empathize with that. Mm-hmm. When I talk to neocons, I want a shot of Jameson also.
Yeah.
But on a more optimistic note, who got the loudest round of applause? It was Tim Huelskamp. Tim Huelskamp is known as a vociferous critic of the NSA. Mm-hmm. He holds town hall meetings in Kansas, and he gets, mainstream Republican Kansans fired up about the NSA's violation of the Fourth Amendment. So I think he should be a little bit more optimistic about the positive direction.
Well, you know how libertarians tend to be fairly pessimistic, Ian. You brought up a topic that I really want to talk about, which I think is the main thrust of this, which is that the Tea Party really was about, it wasn't just about opposing Obamacare. It was about finding out what we really believe in on the right. And I think that Dylan's right that we've gone off the rails with the social issues. And what my goal was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I got involved in politics, was to reform the right. And it was not to necessarily oppose Obamacare so much, although I think that the ultimate goal always was to fight the longer term battle. But that in the short term, that we as a party of people, of a free market group of people, the big tent, as I would say, some Republicans, the libertarians, was to sort of anchor, act as an anchor to make sure that we all could coalesce around some commonly shared principles. And when I saw this going, I saw it going off the rails a couple of years ago. I think this was the Tea Party in 2012 that was held in the April 15th Tax Day Tea Party. And all of a sudden it became about immigration. And Michelle Bachmann was out there railing against immigration, and people were going hardcore on immigration. I'm like, when did the Tea Party turn into an immigration battle, like an issue of immigration?
The Santorum types are overrepresented at these sorts of political events, and that's a problem that we should continue to address. But it is my experience that people with personally socially conservative values are increasingly realizing we just need to get the government out of this stuff.
So yeah, but they're talking about social issues. We shouldn't be focused on that, Ian. We should, when the Tea Party started, and I argue it started in 2007, it was all about taxes. Mm-hmm. It was about the Obamacare, and it was about the IRS, and it was about getting the government out of our business in financial matters. I knew that if the Tea Party started coalescing around social issues and things like immigration, it was going to go off the rails. And sure enough, it has.
Now, what if it coalesces around social issues in a way that reduces the scope of government, though?
I don't want anything to do with it, Ian. I don't want the Tea Party to have anything to do with social issues, because I don't trust these social conservatives on social issues. I do not trust them.
Well, no. I'm not asking you to trust them. Yeah. I'm saying that it's in their interests to want to get the government out of these
Absolutely.
Issues.
But that's a conversation for another day. We need to be talking about taxes. We need to talk about the IRS targeting the Tea Party groups. We need to be talking about Obamacare. I saw today $1.2 billion was spent by the federal government, not on the Obamacare healthcare exchange directly, the federal exchange, but on the state exchanges. $1.2 billion was wasted. These are the issues that the Tea Party needs to be focusing on and not worrying about social issues. Now, I want to talk about strategies for the future, because I think it's important for us to understand that right now we are at a crossroads. We talked yesterday about on Libertarian Republic about how the leading contenders for the presidential nomination is between Rand Paul and Jeb Bush.
Rand Paul's only a few points behind Jeb Bush.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are at a crossroads as to whether or not we will let the establishment completely take us over again and erase all of the gains that we've made over the last 5 to 6 years, or will we work together to build a movement that can actually defeat the establishment Republicans and then defeat the establishment Democrats? Now, Thomas Sowell had a fantastic column about this, and I sort of sympathize with Sowell because he was being critical of Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. Now, Senator Ted Cruz, in the recent debt ceiling vote, staged a very short-term filibuster, and Sowell criticized him because what it did was they knew that there was no way that they were not going to raise the debt ceiling, right? It was one of those losing battles. And Ted Cruz decided to wage a filibuster battle. And what that did was it made Ted Cruz look good for fighting the principal battle, and God bless him for that. I certainly appreciate that battle, because, you know, sometimes you got to fight those Republicans. But the problem was that if you're talking about electoral success and you want the Republicans to be able to take the Senate this fall, then Ted Cruz's strategy was the bad strategy.
His intention was to purify the party.
Well, yeah, you know, and I certainly identify with that, Ian, but you're not purifying the party if all you're doing is just making certain Republicans look bad, I guess.
I'm reading...
Because they had to, hold on, they had go to, ahead. They had to vote to break the filibuster. So this is what Ted Cruz did, ladies and gentlemen. He basically waged a filibuster, and what happened was, if he had not waged the filibuster, then the vote could have gone through and no Republicans would have had to vote for the debt ceiling vote. However, since Ted Cruz filibustered, it forced certain Republicans to come out and to vote to break Ted Cruz's filibuster, which in essence, if you're trying to purify the party, it does say, hey, these are the Republicans who voted to break Ted Cruz's filibuster. These are the enemies. Great. But Thomas Sowell came out and said, look, the Republicans are the only party that are going to be able to take on these Democrats. Why are you trying to make them look bad? I sympathize with Sowell on that. But, you know, my radical anarchist side, you know, is sort of secretly like, yeah, go Ted Cruz. What do you think?
Right. Well, I respect them both. So I can see how it would be a tough issue. I'm reading Sowell's Intellectuals in Society right now. Incredible book. Just continually makes me just cry out in agreement as I'm reading it. But I'm going to have to side with Cruz over Sowell on this one. Sowell makes in his column, here's a key argument that he offers. He points to pre-Nazi Germany, and he talks about, look, the Nazi party was one of several small parties competing for power, and other parties refused to form a coalition and put aside their relatively small disagreements and oppose the Nazi party. And now I'm not comparing Democrats to Nazis. I don't think Sowell was either. I think it was just an electoral metaphor. Mm-hmm. But my response would be the Nazi party was substantially different from all of the other parties. A coalition against the Nazis wouldn't have been helpful if some of the other small parties had had policies indistinguishable from the Nazis. Mm-hmm. So the problem here is that so many establishment Republicans really have policies that are not different in virtually any way from the Democrats. You have, you know, John McCain type Republicans that, you know, not even 1% of their policies are effectively different from the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a viable strategy to form a coalition with those people if they're not going to change their policies. And I think I empathize with what Cruz is trying to do, because if someone will only vote for fiscal conservatism as a sort of show, is that the person that you really want in your coalition to fight the Democrats?
I worry about Ted Cruz and what his true intentions are sometimes.
I have some concerns about Ted Cruz, despite being generally supportive of him. But I think on this issue, I have to side with him over Sowell.
I really don't know, because I'm so torn on this. The problem is that there's so much to worry about with Ted Cruz, with some of his comments where he's sort of like leaned heavily on the establishment side. I worry about getting played, you know. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it comes to Rand Paul, I really don't feel like I'm getting played.
Not at all.
Libertarians come out against Rand Paul and they say, well, he's playing this game and stuff like that. Well, if he is, it's way more out in the open than Ted Cruz is.
Those libertarians haven't listened to anything he said since he endorsed Mitt. He endorsed Mitt. I'm gonna never listen to anything.
No, we hate Rand Paul. I hate Rand Paul. Ron Paul 2016.
I don't care that all of his policy positions would dramatically reduce the scope of government. He endorsed Mitt Romney.
They're still butthurt about Ron Paul losing the election, and certainly I campaigned for Ron Paul both times. I was a Ron Paul loyalist, still am, but that doesn't mean that it isn't time to move on. You ladies and gentlemen, we've got to move on, and I don't want to focus too much on the libertarians here, because, you know, we need to focus on the bigger picture. And I feel as if, though, Ian, as if we are not stronger than we were. And all of this sort of like this cheerleading by Steve, Representative Steve King here about how, you know, oh, well, this is low attended, but it's because we're not going to appeal Obamacare tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to repeal Obamacare at all if we don't win this battle for hearts and minds on the right. And I think that the only way we're going to win these hearts and battles is if we get refocused on the issues that matter. When Peter Santelli said, I'm going to go have a tea party, and, you know, how many people here want to pay their neighbors' mortgages who built an extra room and can't pay their bills? You know, that was what got people fired up. And certainly the fall before that, there was a money bomb that Ron Paul had. That was when I got fired up in 2007. There was that first tea party where we raised $5 to $6 million.
That's a lot.
The Ron Paul's, that was what got me fired up, because we were going to go fight the establishment. We were going to go fight for lower taxes. That's what I cared about. You know, my own little personal story, how I got involved with politics was back in 2007. There was during the Republican debates. I was watching the Republican debates, and this was the debate that Rudy Giuliani and it was like slapped down Ron Paul over the issue of 9/11 and blowback. And I think that was the South Carolina debate. But I remember specifically while I was watching that debate, before Rudy Giuliani and Ron Paul were getting into that battle, my girlfriend at the time in New York City was working on her taxes. You know, she wanted to kind of like get everything closed out before next, you know, the end of the year. She was crying on her bed about the IRS and how much money she was having to pay in taxes because she was finally starting to make money, or getting her career started, and she was crying about the taxes, and I was so upset.
You see that a lot.
You see that a lot. Yeah, a lot of people crying about
it. I've had a couple people that, you know, were kind of on the fence when I talked to them about politics in college that graduated before we had got jobs and you know, messaged me and were like, you know, I really get what you're saying now that I have to deal with these jerks.
Yeah, when I was in college, you know, I loved Obama because he seemed like he was getting me free healthcare. Now I'm paying for it, you know. Yeah, ladies, Republicans, if, you know, establishment, if you're listening right now, you know, you want to get those young people, get those people out of college, you know, 24 years old, 25 years old, starting their jobs, paying taxes for the first time. You'll get those young people. You'll get the millennials, you know, and they're ready. They're ready to go and jump and vote Republican for the right, if you get the right candidate. But if you nominate a Jeb Bush, I tell you what, you're going to have another mutiny on your hands.
Yeah, no way.
You're going to have another mutiny on your hands, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't support the Romney ticket in 2012 because it was just too big government for me. There wasn't a marked difference between Obama and Romney. And now look at ourselves. Here we are. We're in a total mess. And people want to try and blame every time that the establishment loses, they want to blame libertarians. Well, I'd love to take credit for it, ladies and gentlemen, but it's a bed that you're making in. It's a bed that you're making and you have to lie in it. Now, I want to help, okay? I want to fight Hillary Clinton in 2016. I want to be there on the front lines with you. I will marshal as many people as I can to battle the Democrats. But you gotta give the grassroots something to run on. You've gotta fight the Democrats with a different set of policy positions. But if you come out and you try and fight this immigration battle from a non-libertarian stance, if you try and make these about the issues, about social issues and about gay marriage and abortion, like it has been for the last 20 years, 20, 30 years that this Republican Party has been out in the wilderness, you're not going to win the grassroots support. So we've got to have a total realignment, I think. And I think there's going to be, if there was a realignment, if Rand Paul were to win, for example, Ian, I think you'd see a lot of Republicans jump ship to the Democrat Party because they wouldn't be getting the sweetheart handouts that is what makes our bipartisan consensus.
The establishment
today
that effectively already Democrat are already Democrats.
Exactly.
Probably would.
Right.
You know, on the social issues you talked about, I think Ron Paul typically had good answers in debates. He would generally say, you know, what I think about those is we should just decentralize federal power. And that's, I think, a viable strategy for Republicans.
Yeah, man. Well, I think that we are in a dark time right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is not 2010. You know, in 2010, we got very lucky because we were able to elect sort of Trojan horse on the back of the Tea Party, a couple of very principled legislators by the name of Justin Amash and Rand Paul. And then a couple of years later, we were able to get Thomas Massie, who's a fantastic legislator as well. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who he is, you should check him out. Great libertarian from the state of Kentucky. But we need more, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not, I don't have any illusions about electoral success with libertarians. We need a larger movement to sort of carry on the backs of, because we just can't do it by ourselves. Rand Paul, we had to beat the establishment Republican pick, but then once he won his primary, Ian, he needed everybody to come out and support him, all the Republicans to support him.
Yeah.
And so what's going to have to happen, you know, I have no illusions about, you know, libertarians just winning all by themselves. We need a broader coalition.
Right.
But the Republican establishment has got to turn more libertarian in order to get those young people's
Certainly.
Votes and energy.
Now, let me quickly pitch you an optimistic theory. I think one reason that Jeb Bush might have done a few points better than Rand in this poll is the poll presented a list of prominent names, and Jeb Bush has immediate name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could have been an element of happenstance there. Remember, the last Bush left office with a 22% approval rating, a record low. So Republicans abandoned him en masse, and I think the Bush name is tainted within the Republican Party. I also think if he got into the race, people would start to think about a lot more. You know, if he's nominated, we're going to have like a rotating monarchy here of three families essentially running politics, and realize how outrageous that is. So I think all these factors would really work against Jeb Bush to set him behind Rand.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Ian, there's no lack of energy on my part to do the right thing when it comes to this limiting the size and scope of government. There is no lack of energy here, ladies and gentlemen, at the Libertarian Republic, where we are fighting every single day for the issues that we care about, which is economic freedom and personal liberty. My co-host Ian Hewitt and I are stalwarts in the battle for limited government, and you will not see us doing any sort of selling out, because we are your home for economic freedom and personal liberty. Come back and check us out every single day. Subscribe to us on iTunes. We've got a lot of exciting new developments coming. We've got a new website in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be on vacation for the 8th from the 16th, so I'm going to let Ian Hewitt take over that whole week that I'm here. Be nice to him, ladies and gentlemen, and listen to us, and make sure that you check us every single day. You're still going to get your news. Have a fantastic day and a great weekend.